to be in the house of the Lord. The title of today's word, brothers and sisters, is The Holy Spirit is for Everyone. Hallelujah. Do we know what today is? Okay, thank you. Someone just said Sunday. I was going to go, that's not it. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And if you don't know, this is a very important day in our Christian calendar as our faith. This is the day where the Holy Spirit fell for the first time. It's how the early church was born. Do you need a filling of the Holy Spirit today? Do you need a fresh filling?
Yes.
Well, you're in the right place. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let's start with prayer, brothers and sisters. Will you stand to your feet? We want to honor the Lord in this church. And we stand because it changes our physical posture. It shows the Lord we're ready to pray. And if you want to close your eyes or lift your hands, feel free to do that as well. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, before we ask you for anything, we want to thank you for everything.
Amen.
Thank you, God, that we are forgiven through the blood of Jesus and that we can break bread together as a community. We don't want anything blocking us from you. Our sin, an attitude, a behavior, a pattern, Lord, right now in this moment, before we hear your word, we want to ask for your forgiveness. We're sorry. We ask you, Lord, that during this time that you would move in power. Let it be like the day of Pentecost. Amen. Let your Holy Spirit fall in such a way like we have never experienced before. Can the people of God say amen?
Amen.
Let it be like a touch of heaven. Let it be so tangible. God, speak into the areas where we need miracles. Speak into the areas, Lord, where we're on our knees crying, asking for answers. Speak, Lord, into our futures and our next steps. We ask for you to speak into our lives today, and we give you full permission. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your presence, even here today, would heal people.
Yes,
we pray that your presence would restore weary bodies and spirits.
Yes, Lord,
we ask for a supernatural touch of your Holy Spirit in this place. Lord, do whatever you want to do. We, your people, surrender. We love you, Lord. We honor you. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do today. And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. You can take your seat. Grab a round of applause for the Lord. Come on, come on. How are we feeling today? Good? Okay. Okay, so I know I'm a white woman, yeah? But if you want to say amen to the Lord, if you want to go, yeah, Darren, encourage me, you can do that too, yeah? Doesn't need to be silent.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. She's doing it. Hey, the Holy Spirit is for everyone. I want to show you a picture of a very special place. This is Grace Church's first building. So we weren't here all the time, believe it or not. This is from the years 1997 to 2002. It doesn't look great, does it?
No.
No, it looks rough. You just call a spade a spade. This is ICA Hall, the Irish Country Women's Association Hall, out in Douglas, when Douglas was considered the countryside. It's obviously not anymore. But this is where we used to meet. And here is where I would experience or feel the Holy Spirit for the first time as a little girl. You can feel the Holy Spirit, that's one thing, but it's a completely different thing to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yes.
So people, a lot of people believe in God, but do they obey God? A lot of people feel the Holy Spirit, but they're not filled with it to do the work of the Lord. So it's really important that we get filled with the Holy Spirit, which is the day of Pentecost, which we're talking about today. But this was our first building. Do you want to hear some stories from when I was small?
Yeah.
Do you want to see a picture of me when I was small?
Yes.
Okay. Here she is. This is little Dara.
So cute.
So cute. What happened? I don't know. I still like my hair half up, half down. I still like a matching set coordinate of the blues. And I still have bruises for no reason on my legs. I don't know if you can see them, but it's still the same. But this is the age I would have been at out in the ICA hall where our church first met. Is there anyone here who was in the ICA hall back in the day? Any hands up? You see Mike, I see Elma, I see Joseph O'Donovan. Who's that? Celine Mulcair, come on, my love, come on, girl. The smell in that place was something else. It smelled like someone died. I can remember it vividly. It was freezing cold and it was dirty. There was no kids' church. It was Sunday school with a flip chart and a King James Bible. That's the Sunday school. That's what you got. But this is the age that I was when we were there. And you can see at the front, there's actually a river that flows through there. And people used to get baptized in that river. So you have heated water here in Grace now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We've come a long way. Yes, long way. God has been good. But every Sunday, us as kids when we were growing up, we'd be running around the place. And there used to be a bank by this river. And every Sunday, my memory of it anyway, is a child would fall into the river. And one Sunday, it was my go. And I was wearing cream, is my memory, cream pantsuit or something like that, cream top and matching. And it was before church and we were playing. And I fell into the river. So before church, that's bad, isn't it? As a child, you know you're going to get a walloping off your parents if it's before church, whatever about after. And I remember walking into my mum, Denise Burke, who's probably watching online, hello, and her face was not impressed at all. And I remember the silence in the car on the way home. And I remember her saying actually to me, saying, I thought we didn't have to bring clothes, spare clothes with you anymore. I thought you're bigger than this. So that was one memory, which was beautiful. Another memory is the church was so small back then, we used to meet in a circle. It wasn't rows, there wasn't enough people for rows, so it was just a circle. And if you don't know, my dad is Pastor Tom, right? So I used to be going to the meetings with him. We were praying at a night meeting, and it was going on for so long. Do you know the prayer meetings that go on for so long, especially when you're a little girl, you're just going, oh my gosh. And I ended up fainting in the meeting, and we were huddled like this during prayer, so you'd have one person next to you, and I fainted, and my dad wouldn't let me fall. He grabbed me by the collar of my neck and pulled me up, and afterwards he pulled me to the side and he's going, what was that? And as I fainted, he said, none of that, carry on. So if you faint in here, Tom Burke is not going to help you. You're laughing, but watch. You just look at you and go, eh. And then one of my final memories is, because of the river, there used to be flooding. There would be always flooding. And you see the door at the back? There's a door at the back. We used to have a welcome team, which we still have. And there was a man on welcome, and we were in the middle of our Sunday morning meeting, and he comes into the service and says, we have to stop the service. The room is about to get flooded. The water was literally coming in the building. And there's two brown doors here and they would open out. And my memory of this, Michael corrected me, I thought firemen, hunky firemen came and saved the day. It wasn't, it was just hunky men in the church. May they return in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But they literally carried the women and children out while the flood, the water was flooding. So there's some memories of Grace Church back in the day. Aren't you glad to be in a building like this?
Yeah.
That's clean. Can we give it up to our cleaners who come in and clean every week? Those were questionable times, to say the least. But they were, do you know what was important? The Holy Spirit was there and the love of God was there. But as I said, these are my memories of being small and being around the Holy Spirit. And I could feel it as a little girl. I could feel it. This little girl could feel the presence of God in worship. You are never too young to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're never too young to be around the things of God. But we're looking at Pentecost Sunday today and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know about Pentecost Sunday, it's 50 days after Easter Sunday. 50 days after Easter Sunday. And here's the main point of it. God makes the Holy Spirit available to everyone who believes in Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you believe in Jesus, you get to experience the Holy Spirit. It's not like the Old Testament. We speak about this a lot. In the Old Testament, God would choose one person. It was a prophet or a priest. And you had to go up a mountain to experience his presence. Or you had to go and make sacrifices and be in a temple to experience his presence. But because of what Jesus has done, And because of Pentecost Sunday, His Holy Spirit, His presence dwells within you. You don't have to go up the mountain. Hallelujah. Even though the men do. They love going up the mountain.
Amen.
Mm. Torque Mountain, wasn't it? Okay, two men went up. The women are like, what's going on? Who's the mountain? The Holy Spirit is in you. So Pentecost Sunday, it's the birth of the early church. And it fulfills a prophecy in the Old Testament. 800 years before Pentecost Sunday, it's a prophecy that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is going to fall. And we also see it fulfills Jesus' promise in Acts chapter 1. We're going to read Acts chapter 2, which is about Pentecost. So just before it, Jesus' last words on earth are Acts chapter 1, and we're going to read that now. Heavenly Father, bless your word. And the people of God said,
Amen.
So this is Jesus' last words here on earth. Here's what he says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. These are his final words. Right after this, he ascends into heaven. So his final words here on earth. Here's my first point, brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit is not optional, it's essential.
Amen.
If those are Jesus' final words, they're something that we need to be doing, aren't they? It's of importance. The Holy Spirit is essential in your life. You can be coming to church. You can be reading your Bible. You can be tithing. You can be serving. But if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're disobeying one of God's commands.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's a daily thing. Because it leaks. Even those who are walking with the Lord for years, even pastors, if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, we're just going through the motions. That's not the relationship with God that I want. Is that the one that you want?
No.
I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the gift that God has given me. That the presence of God dwells within me. Why wouldn't I want that? It's essential to our lives. And what we read, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What do you need power for? What does he say next? For you to be my witnesses, telling people about me
everywhere.
You need the Holy Spirit to tell people about Jesus.
That's right.
I need the Holy Spirit to do this. This is not my natural forte. For me as a person, I'm shy. I don't want the limelight. You might be very surprised, but it's true. Michael, isn't that true?
It's true.
It's true.
It is true.
Very introvert. I am. I have to get on my knees every time at the front of the stage before I ever step up on it. This morning I'm in praying, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit, because it's not me naturally, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, I can preach the good news of God. Yeah. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, give God the glory, is that me? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. When I'm getting my nails done, I told this story recently, I was getting my nails done in this girl's house, my nail tech. Any ladies get their nails done?
Yeah. Yeah.
Very important, yeah. Hello. Fellas, you can get a pedicure too. But she's doing nails, people's nails, in her house. And she spoke about a demon being in her house. And because I was filled with the Holy Spirit, yeah. I was able to say to her, can I pray?
Yes.
And we prayed. And she said to me, the next time that I came, she said, the difference in the house is off the wall.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Her husband doesn't believe in God, but he said, whatever you prayed, and I prayed in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Whatever you prayed worked. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit wherever you go. Wherever you go. Because watch this, it says, you will be my witnesses. You will be is a command. That's an order from God. It's not you should be, you could be, when you want to be. It's you will be. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Okay, we're very reluctant. If you love someone, do you ever fall in love and you'd be going, oh my gosh, I love them, love my life.
Love my life,
babes. Love my life. You tell people. You love a football team, you know.
Yeah.
You'll be going, you love Cork.
Amen.
Yeah.
Michael loves Cork, we know. You tell people. If you love Jesus, you know. That you will be my witnesses. And you're witnessing to the goodness of God in your life.
Yeah.
Has God done something in your life?
Yes.
Can you tell someone about it?
Yes.
Because if he can do it in your life, the other person could go, oh my gosh, he can do it in mine. And people can't deny the Holy Spirit. They might mock it, they might go, I don't get it. You can't deny it once you experience it. For us, brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our comforter. The Holy Spirit does so many things. But it's not just all about me and my life and my walk with God. The last thing Jesus says isn't actually really about you. It's about the world. For God so loved the world. Go out into the world and tell people. That's what he's saying. It's not about your pain, your problems. He cares about all that stuff. He does. But if your prayer life is just about you and your world, there's something wrong in your faith. You're not healthy spiritually. You're not. You've got to look up and look around. And whatever your everywhere is, your everywhere could be on the bus. Your everywhere could be the cafeteria and work, and you hate half the people. Oh. And the smells in the cafeteria. People be microwaving fish and everything, and it'd be stinking. Yeah. Only me? No? Okay. Not in here. This is when I worked in other places. But wherever your everywhere is, that's where you tell the Lord. Do you speak about God at home?
Yes.
Is it every day?
Yes. No.
There's something up? If you love someone, you love something, you talk about it every day. But you will receive power, hallelujah, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. We're doing an international feast. There's people in this room who are from everywhere, hallelujah. Yeah. Someone told you about Jesus.
Yes.
Pass it on. Do the same. It's your job too.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have the hope of God, if someone hadn't said it to me, where would I be? What would my eternal life look like? Someone has to tell you, and if you don't have the courage, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and you will. You'll have the courage to do it. Just before this, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus says to his disciples, wait in Jerusalem for my Holy Spirit. We've just read there's going to be power when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you're going to go. You're going to go tell people. Here's a principle I believe the Lord wants to show us. It's this, wait, get filled, then go. Any decisions in your life that you are making, to take the job, to go back to study, to try counselling, to work on an area of health in your life, to invest your money in a certain way. I don't know what your life is like right now, but can I encourage you to follow this? You wait on the Lord. You get filled with the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit tells you to move, go, stop, start, then you go. And people get this order wrong all the time. They think things are good, but just because it's good does not mean that it's God. But there's more money in the job. That doesn't mean that the Lord wants you in it. But they're Christians. That doesn't mean that God wants you connecting with them. This opportunity is arrived. It must be from the Lord. Not necessarily. You wait. And while you're waiting on anything, you're waiting on a promise, you're waiting on an apology, you're waiting on a breakthrough, what you do when you're waiting, you get filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what you do.
Yes, that's right.
That's what you do. You get filled. Because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll be in tune with the Spirit of God. The supernatural God will speak into the natural. He will give you insights and discernment into things that you wouldn't have otherwise. He'll put people around you that you won't even realize, only that it's for the Spirit of God. God will speak when you're filled with the Spirit. If you're not filled with the Spirit, it's harder to hear the Lord.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
But when you're filled with the Spirit, what does the Bible say? My sheep know my voice. Because if I'm filled with the Spirit, if I'm talking to God every day, if I'm on my knees every day, I won't fall far. I might fall on my face, but I won't fall far.
Yeah.
If I'm connected with the Lord. Can I encourage you, if you're making decisions, do this. Wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. You wait on the Lord. People make decisions, make moves, and they throw up a prayer to God saying, God bless me in this. You didn't even ask God about it, but you're expecting a blessing. You have to ask. And we surrender. We pray it all the time. I surrender to God, to your will, and to your ways. There's things I'm waiting all my life on. I'm not going to make the move without God. I don't want it if God's not in it. Are you the same?
Yes.
Or do we get impatient and get ahead of ourselves? Brothers and sisters, wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Get filled. That's where you'll find comfort. That's where you'll find peace. That's where you'll find the Lord. And then when he tells you to go, when he tells you to do something, there'll be such a grace in it. There'll be a favor in it. There'll be a peace in it that you cannot buy, that you cannot work to get. It only comes through God. And people will be saying, how on earth did you get that job? That was the Lord. How did you get the money to do that? I waited on the Lord. And when he told me what to do, I did it. That's what we need to do, brothers and sisters. Here's my second point. There is blessing in unity. Blessing in unity. Do you want to be blessed?
Yes.
Okay, five people do. Okay, are we in church this morning? Am I talking to Christians?
Yes.
Okay, do you want to be blessed?
Yes.
Okay, there is a blessing in unity.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
There's a blessing in unity. We're about to read about Pentecost right here, right now. And I want you to focus on what's highlighted in yellow because it's on about the believers. So watch this. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. There's some abilities you will only get through the Holy Spirit.
Yes, that's right.
You can't earn it, you can't study harder, you can't work for it. It's through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So what does it say in yellow? All the believers were meeting together in one place. Bible scholars believe it was about 120 people. That was the church. That was it. But they were all together in one place. That's why it's important to come to the house of God. It doesn't have to be this church. We think we're a great church.
Amen.
Thank you, Michael. It doesn't have to be this church. But you need to come together with the people of God.
Yeah.
And watch this, the second part in yellow. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. Everyone. I spoke about it earlier. Before you had to go up a mountain or make a sacrifice or go into the temple, before God would choose typically one person in a generation, God's presence was private. And on the day of Pentecost, where the early church was birthed, which is what we live in today, we live in this, everyone gets access to the presence of God. Everyone, young and old, rich and poor, educated and uneducated, everyone. Everyone filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's the same here today. God can fill you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is for everyone.
Yes.
And you might say, my sin, or what I've done, or I haven't been good with God for a while. It doesn't matter. Right here in this moment, you can get right with God. Right now. You don't have to wait. But we see all the believers are together, and everyone gets filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's what it says in the book of Psalms. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in
unity.
Unity. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing.
Amen.
Life forevermore. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Brothers and sisters, we're to be unified together as a church. And we can allow things get in the way. Sometimes we allow offences get in the way in church. They said something to me that hurt me. Or they didn't say anything, and that hurt me too. Or it was a look that they gave. And the devil gets into our places of worship. He gets into our places of community. Sometimes it can be something like worship music. I don't like that song. Or I don't like the preaching. Well, this is the church you're in. Sorry about that. But we can allow these things to divide us. We can allow it to bring disunity. And it's the same in our homes. The devil brings disunity. Do we know that?
Yes.
So if God brings unity, and there's a blessing in that, okay, what's the opposite? If there's division, that's not from God. That's from the enemy. And sometimes it's in our own homes. It's in marriages. And how to parent kids. It's with siblings and rivalries. It says in the Bible, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you're not unified in your house on how you serve the Lord, you're missing out on a blessing. It can be in workplaces. Obviously, we're speaking about the people of God. But anywhere there's division, in a neighborhood, in your family, in your friendship groups, that's the work of the enemy. And it usually is ego, it's pride, it's stubbornness, isn't it? When you call it what it is. But when we have the Holy Spirit and we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we bring God into it, God commands a blessing in it. There's to be unity. And there's people here today and there's disunity in your families. I had a prophetic word in the first service, and it was for some people, your house isn't a place of peace. It isn't a place of sanctuary. It's a war zone. It's a war zone. And God doesn't want that for you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
He wants to bring unity. He wants to bring a blessing. He wants to bring his peace. And the Lord commands the blessing. So we'll be praying for that. We'll be praying for that in a moment. But can I encourage us as a church? Can I ask you and agree to this with me? That we won't be a church that's divided. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That we won't be easily offended. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
If someone has hurt you, can you follow the advice of Matthew in the book of Matthew? I think it's 8 or 18.
18,
thank you. That's it. And it says, if someone's offended you, go to them privately. Sort it. As believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, go to them privately. You don't need to come to us as pastors every time. That's down the line if you need it. But go to them privately. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there can be a forgiveness, a conversation that when someone's not good with God, it's very hard to have those conversations. But when we're good with God, brothers and sisters, 99% of the time, my experience is people don't mean it. They made a mistake. They didn't realize they offended you. Some people don't even, they're just not self-aware. So if there's any division between us, can I encourage us, and I'm saying this to myself too, just call it out. Just approach the person and say, I don't know if I offended you, but I'm sorry if I have. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Is the Lord speaking?
Yes.
Just a little bit, okay. Okay, here's my final thought of the day. The last laugh. So we read, the Holy Spirit has fallen on them. It's the day of Pentecost. And they're speaking in languages that they shouldn't know, because they're from this area in Galilee, and the believers at this time too, Bible scholars say they're uneducated. They shouldn't know how to speak these languages, but that's the Holy Spirit. And at this time, there's Jews, people who take their faith really, really seriously, happen to be in Jerusalem at this time on pilgrimage. And so these are people who know the Torah, the Word of God. They know what the book of Joel said that we looked at earlier, that the Holy Spirit is going to come. But what you'll see is with these Jews, some people react one way and some people react another way. And that's what we're going to look at now. So here's what it says. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. So we have two completely different reactions. We see here at the top, some of them are amazed and perplexed and asking, what can this mean? When there is a move of God, it's okay to ask questions.
Yes.
When there's a move of God, if someone doesn't believe in Jesus, they should ask questions, amen? That's a part of them finding their walk with the Lord. But for some people, they don't ask questions and they're like the second group. They ridicule them. They laughed at them. People will mock what they can't understand. These are men and women of God who know the word of God, the Torah at the time. They know it. They're educated. And they don't come back and say, well, theologically, this doesn't make sense. They don't come back with the word of God to prove a point. These educated men just actually mock it because they can't understand it. And we see this pattern in the Bible, and we see this pattern in our lives. When God moves in your life, some people will believe it and go, that was the Lord. And other people will mock it and go, that was luck.
Yeah.
Or that's just weird. Or I don't know what happened, girl. You keep praying to your Jesus. Don't they?
Yes.
Some people will believe and others don't. But there's a pattern. And here, at the birth of the early church, of the Holy Spirit coming down, we see the tension between the church and the tension between the world. And they're constantly at tension. And this pattern of mocking and joking we see continuously, even today. People online will not mock Islam. They will not mock Buddha, but they'll mock Christianity. Am I wrong? They'll mock us, they'll mock our Jesus, but they won't touch the other stuff. Even people, and especially in Ireland, people are brutal for this. What's the swear word? The Lord's name, Jesus? That's literally a swear word. They use it mockingly. People mock what they can't understand. So we see this in scripture too. When there's a move of God, there'll be some people, not everyone, but some people will mock and laugh at it. Here's some examples. Jesus on the cross. They said he saved others, but he can't save himself. To Jesus. Will it not happen to you or me?
Yeah.
Of course it will. It happened to Jesus on the cross.
Yes.
We see it in Paul later on in Athens. It says, when they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed. And we see Sarah, a Christian, in the book of Genesis. And so she laughed silently to herself and said, how could a worn-out woman like me, carries on saying, that she could get pregnant? She was an old woman. But she loved the Lord. And even for her, this woman of faith, she's referred to in the book of Hebrews, she laughs at God's promise to her. And just after this, God calls her out and saying, girl, you laughed. Well, not literally girl. But he says, you laughed at me, and she denies it. This is a woman of faith. There's people of faith in here today, and God has promised you things, and they haven't happened. And you're like, Sarah, you're laughing. They're going, that's not going to happen. How are we going to make it through that? That relationship will never be right. I'll never be right. Do you believe the promise of God in your life?
Yeah.
Because the promises of God are
yes
and amen. Brothers and sisters, you have to have a bit of faith. And for us as believers, this is why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're not filled, we'll become faint. Be like me with my dad. And he pulling me up. We'll become faint. Do you still believe that God's promises that he has said to you, even if they're decades old, are still for you today? I believe the Holy Spirit is challenging us. Have faith, brothers and sisters. Have faith that God is still with you. Have faith, sir, over there at the back. He's still moving in your life.
Amen.
He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten that promise to you. So when God moves supernaturally, this is what people will do. One or two things. Some people will marvel at the things of God, and some people will mock it. Some people will repent when they're in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and some people will rebel against it. Some people will believe that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and other people will absolutely belittle it. Some people, when they're in the presence of God, they'll be transformed. Hallelujah. Do I have some transformed people in the building today?
Amen.
Can you lift up a hand? Have you been transformed? Can you give a testimony? But some people, they'll get offended. when the Lord moves, when there's a supernatural moving of the Holy Spirit, which is every day, by the way, yeah? This is every day. Some people will be going, yes, that's Jesus, and other people will mock it. We're not responsible for people's reactions to it. We're not responsible whether people believe, I'm not the Holy Spirit, I can't get you saved. I can't get you into heaven. I can preach about it. I can work my backside off to try and convince you Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, but I can't make you believe it.
Yeah.
And there'll be some people, they'll mock it and belittle it. Let the Holy Spirit do the work. And can I encourage you, when God is moving in your life, and it's usually the people closest to us, it's the friends, it's the family members, who completely undermine what God is doing in your life at times. Anyone experience this?
Yes.
Sometimes it's even Christians. Oh, shock horror. But if God is moving in your life, give testimony about it, glorify it, and how people react to it. If it's biblical, it doesn't matter. You keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Will you stand with me wherever you're at? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. The Holy Spirit for me. The Holy Spirit is a helper, a comforter. And the Holy Spirit is here today. Do you need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
I don't know what you're going into for the week ahead. Whether you're going on holidays or you're going out of your mind with the kids. But I need the Holy Spirit. I want to pray for that today. Will you close your eyes wherever you're at as the worship team are coming up? So we're going to pray for a filling of the Holy Spirit. I also want to pray for this. I want to pray for people who do not have unity at home or in their workplace. Because these are the two places where you spend the most time. It's not here in church. Church is an hour and a bit a week. You're at home all the time, you're at work all the time. When there's disunity, that can make you physically sick.
Yeah.
When there's disunity and you're wondering, why am I suffering with anxiety and depression? A lot of the time it's the people around you.
Yeah.
It's what you're in.
Yes.
And I believe the Lord wants to pray for us to pray for unity in those places. If that's you today and you're going, I need unity at home, or I need unity in my workplace, or both, will you lift a hand wherever you're at? Okay, we see your hands. We're going to worship God, and I'm going to invite you to come up. We want to lay hands on you and pray for this, because if you've ever been in that situation, it's toxic. It will kill you. But we want to bring the supernatural into the natural this morning. So while we're singing, come up and we'll pray. Amen. Then.
There is power, power, here in this hour, this hour. We're all together, together, waiting here as one. There is power, power, here in this hour, this hour. We're all together, together, waiting here as one.
Of room, just move up for the people behind you. We just want to make sure everyone has space while they're praying. If you want to close your eyes and you lift up your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. When we were praying and worshipping God there, God gave me a vision of handcuffs. And I believe there's people here, and it's to do particularly with a job. It's you're in a career and financially you feel handcuffed to it. And because financially it's you're being paid so well, the cost of giving up that job would affect things at home. Just with every eye closed in this place, if that's you, you know that's your situation. Will you lift a hand? Okay, I see you. Yes, you. God, I pray for this situation financially where this person feels handcuffed to their place of work because it would bring disunity at home if they were to give it up financially. I pray, Lord, that you would be their provider. It is not this paycheck, Lord. You are their provider. And I believe, Lord, that as you minister this to this person, that it's time to let go. In the vision that I got with the handcuffs, you had the key for it. You were able to free yourself. You know what to do. And God has given you permission. Free yourself. And he will look after you. He will financially provide other opportunities for you. And I pray, God, for the peace in this household at home, Lord. That there wouldn't be fighting. Can I get an amen? That there wouldn't be war, but there would be an understanding. That even this person in this household would sense the Lord is in this. He's directing our steps. God has something better for you. I pray, Lord, that you bless my brother and fill him with your presence during this time. Can I pray for those who have disunity, particularly at home and their families? Will you put a hand on your head and on your heart if that's you? If there's disunity in your family, particularly at home. God, I pray for these households where there's war, where there's a battlefield of the mind. God, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would fall on these people. I pray, Heavenly Father, that the words that have been spoken that shouldn't have been said, the blame that is not theirs, the guilt or the shame that has been put on them, the rejection or abandonment that they've felt, the trauma that they have experienced, Lord, in this moment, your Holy Spirit will cover it all. In this moment, in their hearts, they would choose to forgive, and that they would forgive again and again, Lord. We pray, God, against the disunity which is caused by the enemy. We come against the enemy and we claim the authority in the name of Jesus against him. Get out of our heads. Get out of our households. Get out of our hearts. Get out of our relationships. Get out of our future. You do not belong their enemy. Anywhere you place your foot, at home or in your workplace, it belongs to the Lord. You bring the Holy Spirit with you. And you rebuke the enemy. And anytime you feel anxiety, anytime you feel depression, anytime you feel belittled, you say, enemy, get behind me. I am a child of God. I pray, Lord, that your supernatural healing would flow in families especially. For the years that the locusts have eaten, God, we pray for restoration.
Amen.
We pray for families to be reunited, Lord. We pray, God, for there to be an unbelievable move of your Holy Spirit, that there will be testimony that God restored something that no one else could. I pray, Lord, especially for sons and daughters. I pray, Lord, what they lack in their earthly fathers and earthly mothers, they would find in their heavenly Father. And God, I pray for workplaces. We pray against people who have evil intentions, whether it's greed or ego, or they just want to be the boss of things, Lord. You are the final boss. There is no one bigger than you, Heavenly Father. And I pray for these workplaces, as people go into work during the week, that they wouldn't be filled with fear, but they would be filled with your Holy Spirit. That they wouldn't be filled with anxiety, but they would be filled with awe that God is working this out. For some people here, you're praying that God would take you out of the job. He's not going to take you out of the job. Book of James says that when we are, James chapter 1, that it produces strength and perseverance of character. When God is moving, when we're in difficult trials and troubles, that's what it does. It makes us better. God is making you better in that job. You are to wait. You are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when it's your time to go, you will know. God will close the doors and he'll open another one. But right now, you're praying to God all week. You've been crying in work, going, God, get me out of this. God is telling you, you need to wait. He's developing your character. There's something in this season you need for the next. It's not a punishment. God is going to be faithful to you, but you've got to trust the Lord right now. And he's going to fill you with his joy and his presence. And God will open better opportunities for you along the way. But don't stay planted here. Don't stay planted. God is going to move you and transition you. But right now, you wait on the Lord and you be filled with His Holy Spirit. If anyone needs a filling of the Holy Spirit in the front or in the back, do you want to lift your hands to heaven? I need it. And if you don't, can I encourage you? You do. Hallelujah. Lord, we need you. Do you need Jesus?
Yes.
Do you want to tell him, Lord, I need you? Say it.
Lord, I need you.
See these open hands, Father. They're empty. We have nothing to give you but the breath in our bodies. And with our mouth, with our voices, with our tongues, in our native languages, Lord, whatever it is, we give you all the glory. But we ask you, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us so that we can go and give testimony to the work of your hands in our lives. We ask you, Lord, give us your Holy Spirit to be courageous this week ahead, that we would be brave in our conversations, yes. That we wouldn't be men and women who have a spirit of fear, but we would be men and women who have the fear of God in us,
Amen.
That we would be filled with your Holy Spirit. Give us your power, Lord. Give us supernatural discernment and understanding. Help us to serve and love people wherever we go. And for those of us who are consumed with what's going on in our lives right now, Lord, we choose to look up to you, to look up to heaven. And we ask that your Holy Spirit fall down on us.
Hallelujah.
Protect us this week. Put your angels around us, Lord. We ask for miracles in the mundane of a Monday. We ask for your wisdom in the will of a Wednesday. We ask for your forgiveness in a fight on a Friday, Lord. Be with us throughout this week and keep us safe until we meet again. And the people of God said,
Amen.
We give glory to God. Hallelujah.